It would be nice to say that Tiger arrived in Cascadiopolis on the wings of a storm, riding the boiling front of electric darkness and lashing rain like a tall, handsome man out of some John Ford Western, or that he came through shadow and fire by a secret tunnel through the honeycombed basalt bones of these green-covered mountains, a hero out of templed legend following the journey of the gods. It would be nice, but inaccurate. Tiger arrived the way almost everyone comes to Cascadiopolis, either by accident, by judicial design, or by following the damp silences between the trees higher and higher until there was nowhere left to go. In Tiger's case, all three. His name was Tiger Tiger, spelled the way Blake originally did, T-Y-G-R-E. Or, if you prefer to file it by last name as so many sentencing authorities and similar busybodies do, Tiger, comma, Tiger. Not that he had a file, which made him unusual for someone who wasn't otherwise born and raised completely off the grid. But then Tiger was unusual from before we ever saw him to long after we laid him down in the forest loam, beneath a simple stone marked only with a stylized flame. Death improves everyone's reputation. For some, it also multiplies their power. Bashar grunts. A familiar weary look nestles in his narrowed eyes, visible to the pickets even in the deep, green-black shadows of a Cascades evening. The men and women who stand at Cascadiopolis's first line of defense know better than to give him cause for challenge. Not when he is in this mood. Even the new fish like Camilla understand this, with the same brute instinct that keeps young cats alive in the face of a battle-scarred neighborhood Tom. Still, she is not so smart as she should be. Spiked into camo netting 40 feet up a Douglas fir, she tries to sneak a hand-rolled smoke. Cigarettes are so 20th century, the pocket-sized equivalent of an SUV these days. But there's been a fad for them in the cities up and down the I-5 corridor. Every generation ignores the lessons of the one before. It's not tobacco. Long-haul transport is too difficult and expensive for something that doesn't pay good euros by the gram. But a mix of locally grown herbs and good old-fashioned ganja. Rolling papers can be sourced regionally from the old Crown Z mill up on the Washington sign of the Columbia. Everyone knows this. The old hands, meaning anyone who has been on the picket line for more than a week, also know that Bashar hates cigarettes with the same passion that he hates concrete, white people, and internal combustion. Camilla does not know this. So she clicks her sparker and takes a drag inside a cupped hand. Bashar has the hearing of a bat, they whisper to one another when the commander is on the far side of a basalt-ribbed ridgeline. He stops, pressure rifle suddenly cocked, and without turning his head says, "Miller!" She accidentally swallows the butt, then chokes hard on the mix of hot tip, raw smoke, and an inch of lumpy paper going down her throat. "Sir!" she squeaks. "Drop it!" The new recruit almost says, "Drop what?" A relic of oppositionally defiant teenhood so recently left behind. But the absolute silence from her fellow pickets warns her. Cautiously, she casts her sparker down. It hits the mossy ground with a muffled thud to be swallowed by the shadows at the base of her tree. "The fag, Miller," Bashar now sounds bored. That is when he is at his most dangerous. "Drop the fag."
"I don't have it," she whispers. Then belches smoke and paper shards amid a searing pain in her larynx. Still not looking over his shoulder, Bashar snaps off a 3-needle burst from his weapon which takes Camilla in the meat of her thigh. She squeaks with the agony of the non-lethal hit as the tangy reek of blood blooms among the trees. Whatever he was going to do to her next was lost amid a startled challenge from Ward. 100 yards downslope, hunkered down behind a lichen-riddled boulder. Her voice crackles over the dissociated network of Turked combuds, shouting, "Halt!" A fraction of a second later, the words echo through the cooling air.
Bashar moves like a mountain lion on a wounded sheep, fast, hard, and silent, as he makes the long descent in a dozen bounds. Ward knows better than to apologize. She is no new fish, but she has the stranger in her sights. He is Tiger, of course, though none of us have heard of him yet, and he has walked right past the outer line of Bashar's pickets as if there were a row of dead streetlights on some Portland boulevard. The picket commander meets the invader face to face in a rare pool of moonlight this deep beneath the spreading arms of the montane forest. For a moment, even this toughest of the renegade city's partisans is lost in the mystery of the man who would be their king.